A collection of the book is called Psalms because there's more than one. When you're reading one, it is Psalm. We're going to be reading from Psalm 84. And I've asked one of my favorite people from Northport to come and read today. If you would come and do that, I'd love it. Thank you, Paula.
Good morning, guys. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
Amen. No good thing does he withhold for those who trust, whose walk is blameless. I know some of you are kind of going, yeah, well, that's not true. There's some good stuff I'd like to have, and I'm blameless. No, let's set that straight, okay? Psalm 84 is where the sermon is going to be coming from. Thank you so much, Paula. Appreciate it. Kids, you can go. We've said this over and over and over and over. We have a method to our madness when it comes to friends. And she was staying at what is now the... what's that name of that hotel? I can't change the... It's not Bentley's now. Now it's Siesta Key. Then it was a Holiday Inn. It was a Ramada Inn. Then it was before that was a Holiday Inn. Yeah, and I was playing drums in the band, and you know, and she came walking in, and I mean, I swear the whole room just lit right up. Unfortunately for me, for him, the organ player and the head of the band, he saw her too, and he had the same perception of the room. And so he immediately called a set break, which means it's time to take a break. Now, I'm not stupid. I know what he's going to do. The problem is I'm behind the drum set stuck against the wall. It's going to take me a little bit longer to get out. So he beats me to her booth where she is sitting with her friends. But I got there a half a second behind him. We started talking. They were playing music in the Mac background through the speakers, and it was hard to hear. So I said, "So, Kitty, what brings you here?" And she looked at me and she said, "My name is Katie." I went, I've never called her Kitty since, just so you know. It didn't take long to realize on the part of the organ player that she was not interested in him. As a matter of fact, I found out later, as soon as she sat down, she turned to her girlfriend. She said, "I like the drummer." So it was kind of a thing. When she's getting ready to go home back to Ohio, 2.5 days later, she tricked me, she conned me, she manipulated me, she played the game, and within a matter of moments, she got me to ask her to marry her. We are married in 2 months. That's been 44 years.
Long time. Over 40 years.
Yeah, 45 or 46 years. Ah, something like that. I don't keep track of stuff like that. I noticed her today because she was getting caught up trying to do some things at home. And I heard the door open back there, and I looked up and I saw her walk across that window. And I had the same feeling. And so I waited until I knew just about the time, because I didn't want people thinking I was staring. About the time I knew she would clear that corner back there, and when she did, my eyes went back there. And I watched her walk all the way up here. Because I love her. As a matter of fact, I love her more now than I did back then. Back then, when I told her the first time, which was in about 2 hours, that I loved her, she said, "Oh, you're just infatuated with me." And I said, "No, no, 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 no. I love you." If you've been around here any time, and I know that you're new here, and oh, by the way, there's a rule here. Once you walk through the door first time, you still got to come two more times. Because I could be having a bad day. You need to come at least three times before you say, "I don't like these people." But if you hang around enough, you're going to find that this is a church that love built. Because love is not a feeling. Love is an action. It is something that we do. Unfortunately, for some of you women, we're at men's breakfast, and I actually found out the hard way because I'm a prior. I'm a prior, like a crowbar. And I noticed that in asking some questions that some of you deadbeat husbands have not been loving your wives as I or Jesus would expect you. Now, Jesus may let you get away with that. I won't. Look, we have been given a treasure, a blessing. And that blessing is not just something, it is a someone. And that someone is unique in that that relationship in marriage is a picture or a symbol of what it is going to be like with us, the church, and Jesus Christ in the future. I have a problem with that because I look at Otto and I see him. You know, well, Jesus, how could you love a mug like that? But if he loves him.
Should I stand up and bow?
No, you're already up, buddy. I appreciate it. This is a symbol. And so that's why it's so important. That's why, even though we make mistakes and fail along the way, he keeps bringing us back because that's the point. He wants us to get it. He wants us to continue to work on a relationship with our spouses first, and then to take that to our children, and then to the world. But right there with your spouse, or your favorite person right there, that you are just basically locked in. I don't understand. You know, in a room, all by himself, with two people back there, and all the toys, and he's not happy. I don't know. Well, I don't get it. I don't understand. Okay, neither here nor there. Psalm 84 is all about love, and I'm going to tell you, Psalm 84 is all about love. If you've ever, as I asked the men yesterday, if you ever started reading the Bible and you just sat down and you started going through it, and then all of a sudden in asking the Holy Spirit, would he show you what is going on when you have that descending power of the Holy Spirit that comes in and says, "Here I am," without words, you know for a fact what that's like. It's no different than my wife walking across the opening right there. There he is. And what would just appear like regular words on a paper now all of a sudden come alive. Because now we're in the thick of it. And now we're getting into things that really, 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 really matter deep down here. There are four P's, and I typically don't do this. I try to shy away from it, but God was playing fun with me this morning because it just turned out this way. And I went, really, Lord? And he goes, yeah, go ahead, do it. I went, okay. There are four P's I want you to keep track of here, okay, that are going to help you in reading and understanding Psalm 84. And if you'd open up your Bibles and follow along, once again, I am a huge pusher of this Bible, the Scofield Bible. It's the best Bible, in my opinion, out there, study Bible, high performance, normally $80. We get them for $35. You can have it for $35. Can't afford it, it's free. But it has all the cross references. It has all the stuff in there, so you don't have to go, oh, what's that mean? Psalm 84:1, how lovely is your dwelling place. So your first P is place. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And you see that secret code in the Old Testament spelled out right there. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the only uncaused cause in the universe. And he is also God, Yahweh, Almighty. And he has a place. And David says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. How much do you love God? I'm going to tell you right now. If my wife is going to go out of town, like with my daughter for something, and she's going to be away for a day or two, or if I'm going to be out of town on business or something, which I don't do very often, I don't really like it. I mean, when she does women's group and comes here on every other Monday night, I mean, I don't know what to do with myself. I mean, it's not like we do stuff together. We just mostly kind of sit around. I mean, but it's like I genuinely miss her. I yearn for her. I'm not sitting there crying like a baby. But yeah, there's part of me that's going, something's not kicking here. Then he goes on to say, even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. A place near your altar. O Lord, Almighty, my King, my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. I mean, if you were a dove or a sparrow, where would you want to live? I mean, we know where this comes from. The temple was there, and it was just a matter of, you know, if you're a bird, where do you live? You know, you ever see those barn swallows? They build those things on the side. I'm sure the birds were just all over that altar. They just kind of had this feeling and a sense that this is a great place to build a nest and hang out. Right where, well, they didn't know God, but they knew something was there. And David wrote all about that right there. So love with God is a place. It is with you in your heart, in your flesh, in your spirit. How much do you love him? Do you... You're doing all right? You're not having a meltdown, are you? She always kind of freaks out at that because, you know, any minute that defibrillator can go... It's okay. It's cool. It's cool, Bill. I've yet to see it happen. I'm looking forward to it. 3, 2, 1. It's a place. Do you have a place where you meet Jesus every day? I do mean every day. Don't give me that, every day it's a little much. Come on, man. It's not. I see my wife every day. I make sure I see my wife every day. If I wake up and she's not there, and I look through the house, she's not there, I'm calling the police.
Is that one of the P's?
Yeah. I got John on speed dial. Something's wrong. I go, well, we got to give it 24 hours. No, you don't understand. You don't need 24 hours. This is for real. You spend time with Jesus. Do you have a place? The next P, I want you to write this down, is position. It is a position, a determined attitude. We had fun yesterday. Frankie treated four of us, his brother-in-law and then and me. And yeah, I'm not really happy with you, buddy. You beat me yesterday by one shot. Yeah, I know. But Frankie won a shotgun out of the deal. It was fun. Just shooting sporting clays out of the air. It was just a blast. But when I knew we were in trouble, there was probably one team that there was no way we were going to ever get close to, because at the first station, there's a group ahead of us, and there's this little girl. She's about this tall, and she's doing the scoring. And her mommy gets up, and it goes, pull. She got both of them. It's like, no, she didn't. That was this part of the wad that goes out from the shotgun. But she goes, she got two. I knew we were in trouble right then, you know, because she had a position. Mommy can't fail. And so we knew as long as she's keeping score, we're in trouble, right? And that's okay. I don't mind. I knew we was going to win anyway. But what is your position? Take a look at the next verse. It says right here, blessed are those whose strength is in you. You have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their heart on pilgrimage. Marriage, love is not a place alone. It is also a journey, a destination, a pilgrimage. You don't stay the same every day. You're moving. And if you're not moving in the forward position to try to learn how to love and to give and to serve your spouse or your mate or the person you love better, you're not doing it right. And so, yeah, there are expectations. People, when I talk about the person you love, you know, obviously my wife and I dated for so long. There are people who do. I mean, they date a long time and they learn to practice, or they should be learning to practice to love one another the way they should. We didn't figure that that was needed. We were dedicated and we understood that this was going to take 100% from me and 100% from her. And that's so we just, why wait? We'll figure it out as we went. Woo, there were some good finding outs. Man, oh man, oh man. What she learned about me, yeah, we don't want to go there. It is a destination. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Where do you get your strength from? I get mine from God. I said to somebody the other day, I ain't scared of nothing. And I'm serious. I'm telling you that. I am not afraid to put a gun in my face, do whatever. It doesn't matter. I am not afraid of anything. And people think you're crazy. Nah, that's not really true. No, it is. My friend sent me an email talking about how crazy it is out there, how many people are afraid about dying of COVID. Bring it on! I'm set. I'm ready. I know where I'm going. I genuinely am not afraid. I don't like pain. But hey, let me tell you something, even that's temporary. The journey on the way, the pilgrimage. Are you making the pilgrimage? Do you have a place where you show God you love Him? And are you increasing in your love and your duty and your genuine care for Jesus and for the person that He gave you to love? Because if it's not growing, it's slowing, right? That is unacceptable. That is completely unacceptable to God. That means you're a deadbeat. I actually listened to somebody on the radio. You would know who it is if I mentioned it to you, which is why I'm not. But he said, the other day I was encouraged because I heard of a story about of a woman who got her husband coffee and took it to him in the morning in bed. And so because I was encouraged in that, The next day, I thought, I ought to try that. So I made a cup of coffee for my wife, and I took it to her, and she said, ooh, that's special, thank you. And if I'd have had that guy in front of me, I'd have probably smacked him in the mouth. What took you so long? Are you kidding? It says in the Bible, Hebrews. Look, look. The very first act that I have in the morning is to take my wife a cup of coffee. And I've already told you this with the froth and everything. I got the machine. I was taking a little nap. She woke up before the alarm went off. And I was just laying there. I'm laying there after I'd done all my reading, planning, and all this stuff. And I like to let it cook up there. So I'm not really sleeping. I'm just laying there and I'm thinking. And I hear this rattling going on. And I know it's her. But she's already at the coffee pot, so I'll let it have. I'll let it go. You know, she's already there. And I just kind of lay there thinking, letting this cook in my head. And so after I got up, I walked over to her and I looked at her coffee cup and I went, whoa. Didn't get any froth on that one, did you? She goes, no, nobody does it like you. I took the cup and went over and I frothed it for her. There you go, baby. You're my hero. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's a position. Are you moving forward, going down the road, heading to north, where love is going to really come to fruition and to completion? The next thing, and this is it gets a problem as I walk around and lay glasses down. Verse 6 to 7. This is really kind of cool. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. So they pass through the valley of Baca. Mike, go ahead, give it to me. We're on, yeah. This is the valley of Baca. It's over there. And if you're going to be going on a pilgrimage from southern Israel down by the Red Sea, and you're going to head towards Jerusalem, which is a requirement if you are Jewish, at least once a year you have to do this, you're going to go through this. Remember when I told you the wilderness in Israel is wilderness? Yeah, give me another one. We got three pictures. How do you like that? I'd like to be stuck there. This is the wilderness of Baca. Give me the last one. Here's a group of people. Well, I thought that was a group of people. They disappeared. Okay. Rock. No, it's not water. It's rock. It's rocks.
What's that blue stuff?
Better get your glasses on.
That's could be a spring. I don't know. That's the valley. It's not like there's a river in there. The Valley of Baca was a dangerous place to be because there was one of two things you could do when you were going through there. You either had to dig, and that's what that verse says. When you're in the Valley of Baca, and the word Baca means tears. When you're in the valley of tears, in the desert, when things aren't going the way you want them to go, when things are really bad, when you've lost all hope and you have no idea what's going to happen, the first commandment God says is dig. Get out your shovels and dig. Because some of you people have been given the answer already a long time ago, back in your days when you had it in your Bible. That's why I always encourage write notes, mark it, write notes. Because sometimes you'll find the answer right there from 10 years ago. Or 5 years ago, or whenever. Dig. Look. If you have an issue and a problem and you're not getting the answer, you need to be digging and finding what that answer is for your marriage or your life or your situation or your problem. You got that? It's work. It's not easy. It's always awesome. I always enjoy it, but it's always work. Right? Stephen and Teresa come over here and they clean the church, set the chairs. Don't they do a nice job? They come over here and I said to them, because they're having a tough time this week, they said, you know, we really need to find an employee, you know. And he says, they come over here and this is their business. They clean, have their own cleaning business. And I said to him, you know, several times, I said, why don't you let some people take over for you for a little bit, give you a little bit of break since you're overwhelmed. And he always says the same thing. Oh, no, 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 no. This is too much of a joy. When I come over here, it's just like, I know what that feeling is. And so does God. Because he just told me this week they found somebody after we prayed for him on Wednesday to go to work for him. We do go through difficulties. We go through struggles. We go through difficulties in life. It's not going to be guaranteed, and it's not going to be easy. Do you love him enough to have a place? Do you love him enough that you are going to line your position in life to follow after him wherever he leads? And are you actually moving down the path to get there? Doing what it takes to stay on the path and survive, whether it's digging, or, as he also says, the autumn rains will come. Sometimes God just blesses us. I've had lots of times people ask, what are you all doing in that building over there? I know that that's why you've been thinking that. What happened to that building over there? I told you before, I don't care about that building. That building will come along when we need it to come along. But the interesting thing is that it's doing well. Life here is doing great. God is blessing us. But he blesses us first with love. To care for one another. As people show up and they genuinely love one another and they give and they serve, that only means when people come, they're going to be loved and they're going to give and they're going to serve, and then we'll have to move over there. I told you all over and over and over and over and over again, the only thing, the reason I have anything I have is because God said, give me your time and your money. I did. And guess what he gave me? Time and money. So much that I can't contain it all. No, you can't have a loan. Walk the valley. All right. Love is a place. It's a position. It's a pathway. Look at verse 10. We're going to read that all the way down. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What do you think about that? You like hanging out with people who don't love Jesus? You like doing the things they do? Shame on you. The reason we have a problem with people who are looking for something else to fill their lives, even though they claim or call to be Christians, is because they haven't learned to be satisfied with Jesus. I am not looking for another wife. I got one. Jesus is my God, and he fills me. Oh yeah, Satan likes to throw things at me. And he tries to get me to think about other things and to step out of bounds and to do some things that might give my flesh some kind of a satisfaction. But you know what? I remember that stuff. I remember that stuff. I was a teenager. I was in my 20s. I didn't know how to get crazy. The thing of it is that it never satisfies. Amen? It doesn't sound, it doesn't stick, it doesn't stay, you can't build a house on it. It doesn't mean anything. It's a temporary. When you build your house on God, and you have that place, and your position is determined by his movement, you walk his path, you can have the promise. It says here, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. How much you love Jesus? How much you love God? It's a process. It takes time. You have to work at it every day. My wife and I constantly work on it. Sometimes she drives me out of my mind. But I'm constantly trying to find out how I can do better at loving her. Just like I do the same thing with Jesus. If you're looking for something else on the side to satisfy your desires, then you haven't discovered that God can do that very easily if you just happen to stick with Him. I love Him. I do not have any shame in telling people that. I have a lady in my rental house right now. She's a little glum and blue because the weather has been kind of really cold. So when she complained about the TV, I said, I don't make any promises about the TV. Take a bike ride or a kayak ride, they're free.
But it's cold out there.
I said, it's warm in church. Are you a Jesus girl? She said, no, that fast. I said, too bad, because I'm going to be toasty. You can come if you like. I don't mind showing off my wife. I don't mind being seen with her anywhere, anytime. One thing she drives me crazy with, though, and I'd like her to get rid of it, it's a big issue and a problem, in that as she gets older, she looks in the mirror and she sees this older woman and it drives her nuts. You women that are out there, stop that. But you men, if you're married to them, tell them what I tell her. You are absolutely gorgeous. Don't change a thing. That's our job. That's what we do. Our job is to tell our wives that we love them, tell Jesus that we love them, to bless them, to treat them. And it's the wives' job to do the same. You'll hear this coming up in Valentine's Day. You women think you can sit in a catbird seat and do nothing? No. It's a two-way street. Thank you, Todd. I raised her. Remember, you're in trouble. Okay. This is not a Christian song. Jimmy will appreciate this. Jimmy and I had a talk. We're standing down at the corner. We stand down there every Wednesday and Friday from 8 in the morning till under. What time?
9
to 10, yeah. And he told me that they've been doing this at their church, and it's really kind of cool. He takes regular love songs, and he plays them as if it's us singing them to Jesus or Jesus singing them to us. I always loved this song. Some of you older folks will remember it. But I think I see Jesus pleading with you right now. I think He's asking you to do this one thing better than you've ever done in the past and to not stop. Go ahead, Mike.
Wait, what's the last
two? That's all I want, dear. Love me with all your heart, or not at all. Just promise me this, that you'll give me all your kisses. Every winter, every summer, every fall. When we are far apart, or when you're near me. Love me with all your heart, as I love you. Don't give me your love for a moment or an hour. Love me always as you love me from the start.
one with every beat of your heart. When we are far apart, or when you're near me, love me with all your heart, as I love you. Don't give me your love for a moment or an hour. Love me always as you loved me from the start. With every beat of your heart, with every beat of your heart, with every beat of your heart.
Isn't that good? There are four P's. That's why I don't like doing the letters. The last one is promise. Last one is promise. Oh, well, you didn't hear it. Yeah, they got it. Place, position, path, and promise. I'm not going to pull. I'm going to do it. Do you love Jesus? Show him. And if you love Jesus, show your spouse. Vic, pray us out here.
Father God, in this world, so many people are infatuated with things and with each other. But we love you, Father God. And we know that love is an action verb. And we will work and we will walk with your son, Jesus. And because of Jesus, our walk is blessed. We yearn for you, Father God, and we yearn for your dwelling place, and we will dwell with you now and forever through the grace of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.